Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Brewers Outlet Day, everybody. Welcome to Philadelphia. Tomorrow, the Nittany Lion basketball team will play in one of the great venues in all of sports, the Palestra in Philadelphia, 90 years young. It's great for me to be in a building that's older than me. Oh, stop laughing, Sean.
Drew got a kick out of that, too.
Wakeman's laughing, too.
And the third, yes.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh and out every day, and the pickle bar. I love the dills, I love the barrels, they are second to none at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You need to go out and stock up for what's going to be a cold weekend. Stock up now. There's going to be plenty of football and basketball on all weekend. Kick back and enjoy. The NFL playoffs are upon us. Sean is already pacing back and forth with the Steelers and Dolphins.
No, not really. Pretty confident.
And you are pacing back and forth, aren't you?
If it's a little snug third quarter, about 3:15 on Sunday, about 48 hours from now, I may be doing that.
Well, great to have you with us and on board here today as we get rolling on the show. And
I was trying to figure out exactly where you're going to be.
We're set up perfectly to do the show today and looking forward to tomorrow when Penn State is in action taking on Michigan State at the Palestra. Michigan State playing better now. They've won four in a row. They're 11-5. They have Miles Bridges back. And Miles Bridges is one of those guys that he is an NBA lottery pick, and Nick Ward is not that far behind either. So they've got plenty of talent. Penn State the other night, when they were in action, they were the better team athletically. In fact, they were the better team in a lot of ways. They were better athletically, better effort than Michigan. I think Michigan was surprised by really how good Penn State was. I think that was part of the issue there. And I think the only thing they didn't have was experience. I think that, in the end, is the key part of it. So, I'm looking forward to that game tomorrow very much against Michigan State. P.J. Fleck is the new head football coach at Minnesota. So, now they get to row the boat. If you're going to take a job in this conference, you do want to take a job, in my opinion, in the Western Division of the conference. It's very difficult to take a job in the Eastern Division of the conference and feel like you've got tremendous upward mobility. And in the West, your chance to get to the top, in my opinion, is a quicker road in the West than it is in the East. And I think that's for obvious reasons. And that's something that I think that, you know, people have asked me, for example, Purdue and Indiana, they had to make a decision as to which one would be where in the Big Ten when they decided to go to the East-West. And they, you know, the consolation was they would preserve the rivalry between the two and have them play the last game as a crossover. Okay. That's fine. Indiana has better facilities. Mellencamp Pavilion, the stadium itself, what they did on the north end of the stadium, they built an entire complex over there with the for the football program. And they're in better shape in a lot of ways than Purdue is. Yet you can argue, because Purdue is in the West, their road to getting to the top might be an easier one compared to Indiana in the East. Indiana may have more working for it. Purdue has a better road. Wisconsin's good. Iowa's good. Nebraska's good. As opposed to the East. Penn State's great. Ohio State's great. Michigan is really, really good. And Michigan State can be really, really good. There's the issue right there. You just have so many other quality programs to climb over to get to the top. And that's one of the areas that has been so impressive about what Penn State has done. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
I went to a seminar on digital media. You know, one of the key things they told me was that you have to be able to go to the movies a lot. I didn't understand what that meant. Oh, well. Just kidding. Great to have you with us. We'll have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, at 3:35 today, 4:05 today, Neil Riddell. And then my brother will be on the show as we get to playoff picks in the National Football League. Four games this weekend. And let's see. Except for Houston and Oakland, all the other games are going to be cold games. I'm talking wind chill in Seattle tomorrow night is going to be in the teens. Temperatures in it'll start in the 30s, fall back into the 20s. Wind chill single digits in Pittsburgh. Wind chill single digits in Green Bay. Amazing. That time of the year, that's why I mentioned earlier Brewers Outlet. They love it. Come on, get in there. Stock up. That way you're all set to go with all that cold weather rolling in. All right? All that cold weather rolling in. You can watch the games in complete comfort. Have all the beverages and snacks, pickles all at your disposal. You can do that as well. Our number 1-800-795-9565. If you would like to jump in, we would love to hear from you on the show today. Again, Neil Riddell. We haven't had Neil on in a while. It'd be great to have Neil back on. Great respect for Neil. He and I go back many, many years. More years than we care to say, as a matter of fact. But he will be on the show today. We'll get his perspective on what he's seen and the historical perspective. I think everyone knows Chris Godwin has made the decision that he has decided to go to the NFL draft. So I said yesterday when it came to Chris Godwin that I felt like where he has topped out. That he could not get his draft status any higher than it is now. He could come back and put together a great season again next year. I just don't see how he could have raised his draft stock any more than that. Just couldn't. And that if he did come back, my point was that if he did come back, then it would be because, look, I can't raise my draft stock anymore, but I can also help this team continue to win. That would be the one area where you would say, okay, he'd come back. But his draft stock's not going to go up by coming back. I think it was pretty safe to say. Garrett Sickles probably was in the same boat. Maybe he could have raised his stock maybe around, I don't know. And again, I don't know what the evaluation was on each guy either. So I don't know, you know, what they were told by the NFL guys. And again, you're told first round, second round, go back to school. Now, some guys get to go back to school and they don't believe it and they just go anyway. And there are guys that go undrafted. But that's one of the reasons why they're doing the first round, second round, go back to school. If you were to say, okay, I get a second round grade, and you fall to the fourth round, you still get drafted. Their thought process is, look, if we tell you 3 through 7, where they think you're going to get drafted, because that's what they used to be. Okay, it used to be that they would give you a 1, 2, or a 3 through 7 or go back to school. That's what it used to be. Well, what happened was that guys were getting the 3 through 7 thinking that they were going to get picked. And they weren't getting picked. And some of those guys, not all, but some of them weren't getting picked. So the NFL decided that they needed to be a little more blunt in their evaluation of players. Thus, they decided to cut it down to first round, second round, or go back to school. That way, if they tell you, hey, look, if you're a first rounder, you end up in the second or third, you did get picked. If they tell you that you're a second rounder and you end up going in the third, fourth, or fifth round, you still got picked. Probably pretty rare when somebody gets a second round grade and somebody in the sixth or seventh round. But then telling them through 3 through 7, a lot of those guys, you know, some, not all, but a decent number of guys were not getting picked. And that was started to become a little bit of an issue. And the NFL decided that they also wanted to be pickier as well. They wanted to be pickier when it came to all that.
Hopefully now you can hear me.
I can hear you.
There you go. We heard you all along, so that's more important than me. That was the burning question today as to where you would be broadcasting from, whether it be from there at the infamous Palestra or we're at a hotel or Dick Girardi's humble abode or...
Girardi offered his humble abode.
Nice.
He did offer it. He says, Steve, just come over to my house. Just do the show there. And I said, well, no, I'll just go to practice, and then near the end of practice, I'll walk over. And so I just walked over. The hotel is like 2.5 blocks away. In fact, I can see Franklin Field and the Palestra from my window. And I got here, and the team's done with practice now. And Michigan State's in there now. So I was going to do the show with Michigan State there. Tom Izzo, come on over and join us. I'm not doing that. Can you hear that right in? No, I'm not going to do that. But happy Brewers Outlet Day to you.
And to you, too. And for the first time in 2016, and we got a call at 1-800-795-9565. We say hi to Doug in Wellsboro.
Well, it's 2017, Sean.
Oh, 2017. Sorry. My coffee wore out.
Hi,
about
Doug. How are you?
Ago. Sorry.
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Good. At least I know what year it is. That's a start.
Is Sickles really ready for the NFL?
That's a good question, Doug. You know what? I thought he could have used another year. I really did. To become a little bit better against the run. I think he's a decent pass rusher. I can't imagine that he got a first or a second round grade. I really can't imagine that he did. But we don't know, for example, like the family situation and what his situation is. Sometimes there are other variables that we can't account for.
I know you can't say. Is there something going on in the background that he's just sick of school or something? Are they getting their degrees? Is Chris Godwin and him also getting their degrees, do you know?
They're both on track for it, and I thought Sickles was on track to get his in May. Godwin's a true junior, so for him to get his degree, he would have really had to have had it accelerated.
Even with summer school?
Well, with summer school, you can make up for it, but there's no way Godwin's out now. Some guys graduate in 2.5 years, but I thought Godwin was on track to get his in May, and Sickles was on track to get his in May as well. So that would be a plus for each of them. Godwin is not going to get better, Doug, in his draft grade by coming back. Now, that I can tell you.
No, the way he has played over the last 3 or 4 years, I mean, this is if he's ever going to go, this is the tops for him coming off that performance. There's no point in coming back for him.
Right. I think Sickles, I would debate a little bit. As I said in the show yesterday, that Godwin, there's not really, to me, there's nothing Godwin could do in 2017 that would make him even a round higher than he is now.
One other quick thing. In the Rose Bowl, I know this is 2020 hindsight. Why, when it was like a minute 30-some left, why did they try and run Saquon two or three times? I know all you needed was one first down to win the game. This happened before a couple years ago, Illinois, Maryland, you know, the first time 2 years ago. All they needed was one first down, but they turtled up, and it cost them. And I know they played a great game, but that's just one thing. It really, I don't know, it just sits wrong with me.
Well, let's go plus and minus. Minus, obviously, that you're talking about was that if he threw the ball, especially against soft coverage, you probably could pick up the 4 yards. Plus was that you were trying to put the ball into the hands of your best player who was having a great day. So, you know, there's pluses and minuses on each, and I do, and believe me, I see your point, and I know that if you talk to James, he would see your point as well.
Now, real quick, I knew getting the ball to Barkley was everybody knew it was going to come, but something to, you know, something different. I know it's all 2020 hindsight, but if they just got the one first down, they could have burnt the clock, and that, you know, they could have just kneeled on it, but it didn't work out that way.
No, it didn't, and that's what makes it so hard about Monday's game. They went toe-to-toe with USC. They were every bit as good as USC, and in some ways I think they were better than USC. And that's what hurts about it, because you felt like you had the team to get the job done, and they almost did.
Okay, well, I know we're against the bottom of the hour, so hey, bring me a program from the Palestra.
Sure, I can do that for you. What the heck? We could do lots of things. I mean, the suit's got 5,000 programs. The difference between him and me, Doug, is I'd actually give it to you as opposed to him selling it.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Doug. Happy New Year, bud. Oh. You know, I never knew in digital media that I went to a seminar that the requirement was that, you know, you had to learn how to go to movies. What does that mean, John?
I'll let you know when I figure it out.
There's also a lot of, like, frequent trips to Home Depot. Do they need digital media?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Water, soft drinks, wine coolers, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Or as Sean Connery would say, schnacks. And the pickle bar is second to none. Barrels, Dills, love them both. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. It's going to be cold this weekend. Stock up tonight. Get ready for the playoffs. Get ready for college basketball all weekend long. In the comfort of your own home, knowing you are fully stocked, courtesy of Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. All right. Time now for this day in sports history. 1896, the first American women's six-day bicycle race was held at Madison Square Garden in New York. In 1942, the National Collegiate Football Rules Committee abolished the Y formation because they looked around and said, why? Just kidding. 1951, the Indianapolis Olympians beat the Rochester Royals, known today as the Sacramento Kings, 75-73 in a game that took six overtimes. 1976, Ted Turner purchased the Atlanta Braves for $12 million. I'll never forget, his big free agent signing was Andy Messersmith. He signed him and took away for the Dodgers. And at the time, of course, Turner not only owned the Braves, but he owned WTBS, Channel 17 in Atlanta. So when he signed Messersmith, he gave him the uniform number 17. And he put Channel across the back instead of Messersmith. So that when the center field camera was focusing in on the mound, they saw Channel 17. Major League Baseball did not buy into that. They said, you've got to change. And then Turner told him it was his nickname. His nickname on the team's Channel. Now, 1997, Peter O'Malley announced that the Dodgers were for sale. The team had been owned by his family for 47 years. Let's see. And in 2010, NBA Commissioner David Stern indefinitely suspended Washington Wizards guard Gilbert Arenas without pay. Arenas admitted to bringing guns into the Verizon Center locker room and was under investigation by local and federal authorities. It's a different league. Okay, that's this day in sports history. Let's bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, as we get ready for the Steelers in action this weekend, taking on the Miami Dolphins. Tony, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Good afternoon, Steve. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Okay, Dolphins and Steelers, the rematch, but this time in Pittsburgh, wind chill 8. I'd like to welcome our friends from the South to the game.
Yeah, no doubt. Who knows whether the weather will play that much of a role? There are a lot of guys from Texas and Florida on that Steelers team as well. But, this is what the fans certainly like to talk about, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. But the game in Miami played out differently for a lot of ways. Take us back to that game as to why the Dolphins won and how banged up the Steelers were on that day.
Well, first of all, that's almost an entirely different defense, personnel-wise, for the Steelers. James Harrison played less than half the snaps. Sean Davis didn't play any snaps on defense. I think you only saw a couple snaps from Artie Burns. Javon Hargrave wasn't playing as much as he's been playing, and Ryan Shazier wasn't on the field for that game either. So it was a very, very different defense, personnel-wise. Ben Roethlisberger got banged up in that game and played the second half with a sprained MCL. That's one of those decisions that I still wonder about why you send an injured guy out there, an injured guy that's, kind of valuable to your team, Bennett is, back out to play injured. And that defense just got absolutely gutted in that game. I mean, that was the day that Ajayi kind of showed up and said, hey, here I am. He had 200 yards again the next week, I think like a buck 50 the following week after that. And he's run for, I think, 1,100 yards in 10 games since that Steeler game. So, credit to a guy that I don't think the Dolphins realized was as good as he has turned out to be. But also, that was a bad Steelers defense. It's better, Steve. I'm not ready to say it's a good defense. It's a better defense. There's no question that, when you put up the numbers they have and you show that improvement over really a two-month period, yes, they're better. Are they good? I'm not ready to go there and say that that's a good team, a good defensive team.
But it is Matt Moore, who, in my opinion, is a good, functional NFL quarterback. He is not a great NFL quarterback, but he's a good functional NFL quarterback. I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I think there are a lot of teams that would prefer to have Matt Moore as their backup as opposed to the guy they have now. I think he's in the top echelon, I guess, of a backup quarterback. That being said,
that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
I just think that's the kind of guy that you're comfortable with, a veteran guy, a kind of guy that you're that most teams are going to be comfortable with as their backup. However, I don't think there are too many teams that want to send their backup on the road into a playoff game. And, to me, that's just the clear advantage that the Steelers have right now. I talked about that defense not being a good defense but being better. That may be all it needs to be. If the Steelers' offense is healthy, if they are running the ball the way they want to run the ball, then they should be able to execute in the air the way they have been for the most part during this winning streak. And maybe that's all the defense needs to be, is better. At some point, though, during any playoff run, the defense needs to be better than it is. I don't think we're there yet.
No, I agree with that. How concerning, though, is the presence of Cameron Wake?
Well, you know, again, that's the kind of guy that can throw an entire, you know, an entire offense off, an entire passing game off. There really is only one guy that Roethlisberger is on the same page with all the time when it comes to hot reads and those kind of things, and that's Antonio Brown. Other guys have played well. You know, Ladarius Green's a veteran. I think he's got a lot of trust in his hands. I think he's got a lot of trust in Jesse James in his hands. But as far as being on the same page, you know, truly being on the same page and having that, you know, having that kind of connection that the great ones have, that really is just Antonio Brown and Roethlisberger. So, you know, if you have Wake getting into the backfield and causing havoc, then you can manage to kind of lock down Antonio Brown, even if you have to use two guys, that changes things. You know, no question about that. You have the flip side of that is the Steelers can control the pace if they run the football. I think that the Steelers should, I think to me, there need to be questions if the Steelers cannot win this football game. I don't not think there need to be massive changes, but I think it's a concerning loss if they can't win at home against the Dolphins team that I think the way they match up now really does favor the Steelers.
Right, yeah, the matchup does favor Pittsburgh. There's no question about it. When you look at Le'Veon Bell, the offensive line and Jesse James have a lot to do with this, but what are you seeing stylistically from Bell that's allowed him to be, in the second half of the year, a dominant force, not just really good, but dominant in games?
I don't know that I've seen a back with the patience that Bell has. I think if you watched him for the first time and you'd never seen him before, and you watch the first five or six carries of the game, you would say, boy, what's wrong with this guy? He seems tentative. Because he almost tippy-toes at times. And then when he sees that hole, whether it's a big hole or just big enough for him, the explosion is something that you really don't see very often either. So I don't think you coach many backs to run like Bell does, you know, especially when you're coaching younger backs. I mean, you got to get the ball and go. There's no time to do that kind of stuff. But Bell he's one of those guys that his vision of the game is just different. Things must move in slow motion almost for a guy like that. Other guys see the game unfold in live speed or in real time or even faster than that. For Bell and for a lot of the great ones, somehow there's just a slow motion button on everything in front of them, and they just see the field differently. And I think that really describes Bell. And I think because the Steelers' offensive line, for the most part, has remained intact this season, that's just another advantage to a guy who is that patient and who understands what's happening in front of him. So, you know, again, Steve, since Bell's gotten to Pittsburgh, you know, September through January has not been the issue with Bell. Everything that happened during those months have been A+. It's what happens when he doesn't have some place to go every day that's been the issue. So, you know, I think this is a guy that you can trust almost implicitly on game day. He's never played in a playoff game. He is itching to get out there.
Yeah, no question. The Dolphins did release Jason Jones, and it looks like Mario Williams is going to be active for the game. Ryan Tannehill threw on scout team. He said it felt great to be back on scout team. He will not play in the game. You know, the only way he even has a shot is if the Dolphins were to advance. But just a couple notes on the Dolphins as well. You mentioned the defense. In terms of defensive cohesion, where are they, Tony, right now? Because you mentioned the first time they played the Dolphins, some guys didn't play at all or had very limited roles. How cohesive has this defense become in the last month?
Well, you know, I think that is a big part of their improvement, and I think that's also a big reason why, even though there are some guys who maybe could have rested, some veterans who maybe could have rested the other day, the only one that did was James Harrison. I think that the cohesion is a big part of the reason that you saw, you know, Artie Burns on the field for almost every single snap, that you saw Sean Davis, that you saw Mike Mitchell and William Gay and Lawrence Timmons and Bud Dupree. And that whole crew, I think those guys still need snaps. They need to be playing football together. And even though the defense did not play very well against the Browns, part of that maybe can be excused. Again, there aren't too many truly meaningless games in the NFL. This was one. But I think that cohesion reasons, even though you didn't hear Mike Tomlin say that, I think that had to be a big part of the reason, because just when you see these young, you know, these guys start to mesh and start to play well, especially the young guys, especially Davis and Burns and Bud Dupree, you know, they need to be on the field getting snaps together, and I think that's a big reason why they all played against Cleveland while most of the offense, or a good chunk of the offense, rested.
All right. I mean, look, the Cleveland game, they won the game in overtime. It's totally meaningless. I mean, that means zilch. I mean, the motivation of it as opposed to the motivation you got this week, that's 180 of each other.
Right. Yeah, yeah, no question. I mean, again, but they're just, there aren't too many truly insignificant games
that
in the
was
NFL,
it.
And that was one. Right.
I mean, that was it. No, I mean, there's no question about it. When the Steelers have had to play better teams, have you felt like they've risen to the level?
After
Miami, I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think for the most part they have, and you know, that's kind of been the case the last couple of years. I don't know why that is. I honestly can't put my finger on it. To me, that is the one. You know, I guess that goes both ways. That is probably a feather in the cap for Mike Tomlin and the veterans on that team, that they're able to, you know, to rise to the occasion. Quite frankly, I think they, for the most part, did that even against New England without Ben Roethlisberger. I thought they played a relatively good football game. They made a couple of mistakes early in that game that ended up killing them. But for the most part, I thought they even stepped up in that game. You know, even heck, another loss was the Dallas game where the defense didn't play well, but I thought the offense maybe played as good a game as they've played all season against the Cowboys. So for some reason, that's been true this year that they've risen to the occasion in a lot of those big games. But again, we know the flip side, they have also lowered their level against bad football teams. It hasn't been quite as big a problem this year. Miami turned out to be a better team than we thought. I think that the Eagles, at least for that stretch of time, were playing really, really good football. But, you know, again, if we're going to give Mike Tomlin a pat on the back for getting his guys up for these games, we have to acknowledge that there have been too many concerning games against bad football teams as well.
What's your opinion of Mike Tomlin?
Steve, I think he's a very, very good coach. I think it's really hard to win Super Bowls. I think it is hard to get to Super Bowls. You know, absolutely, I acknowledge that you know, there was a 5-year gap where they weren't winning playoff games. They did win one last year. I don't think that's insignificant. I think winning a playoff game is a major, you know, a major positive for a coach. Does he have more to answer? You know, does he have more questions to answer? I guess it depends what the question is. You know, is he a good coach? I think he's proven that. He wins divisions. Just as often as he doesn't. I think he's won 5 divisional titles in his 10 years. Is he a great coach? You know, maybe then we have some more questions to answer. But you know, if you're lining him up, let's put it this way: I will disagree with Terry Bradshaw. I just don't know how, you know, you can sort of shake your head and scoff at Tomlin as a coach when his worst seasons, Steve, have been 2-8-8 seasons. I think that says something as well.
It says something. Tony, as always, thanks so much. Enjoy the weekend. Stay warm.
I will try to do that. Thanks, Steve.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Neil Riddell, next half hour. My brother, final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Philadelphia. Sean wondered earlier today if we'd be doing the show inside the Palestra, but that doggone Tom Izzo, he just doesn't want to cooperate with the show. Don't get it? No. Men's team went in, Penn State did, and practice earlier. I was at their practice earlier today. Then I had to leave about maybe a half hour before they were done so I could get over here and set up to do this. No shoot around tomorrow. No need. You go over there. So. No shoot around. With a 1 o'clock start, you don't want to shoot around tomorrow. Shoot arounds are 4 hours before tip off. So I don't think you want to go over tomorrow between 8 and 9. Do that. That's always a decision you have to make. Oh, let's go to shoot around. What time did they give you? 6 to 7. I think the answer is no. No, the answer is no on that. I understand that the suit tried to sabotage the show, correct, Sean?
Yeah, but we got it taken care of.
Why is he touching stuff?
I don't know. Good question. There's a big Shikellamy basketball broadcast tonight. He's just making sure everything's all taken care of. And I said, hey, I'll make sure everything's in good shape before I go. You'll be good to go.
Huh?
Yeah.
where's the game?
They're home tonight.
Shikellamy's playing where?
They're home tonight.
Oh, so we couldn't have flipped the switch before we walked out of the building?
He doesn't trust me. Even though I had a reminder in my smartphone to take care of that after you and I were finished with our show today. See, I've learned now to take care of little stuff like that too. You know.
Well, excuse me, on the level of trust, since he knocked you off the air for about a half hour here, exactly who's supposed to trust whom here?
Well, the good thing is you weren't knocked out over the air and everything was good to go. We could hear you, and that's the most important thing.
Do not make excuses for the self-absorbed. Okay? Okay. 12 Nittany Lions NFL playoff rosters. All right? Sean Lee and Jack Crawford with the Cowboys. Anthony Zettel with the Lions. Taba Ali with Kansas City. Cameron Wake, Mike Hall, and Jordan Lucas with the Dolphins. Robbie Gould with the Giants. Matt McGloin with the Raiders. Jesse James with the Steelers. Gary Gilliam with Seattle. Then there's two others. You'll love this. Former men's lacrosse player Chris Hogan and former Nittany Lion basketball player Ross Travis. Hogan with the Patriots and Travis with the Kansas City Chiefs. Meanwhile, Devin Still has been on injured reserve since October 5th with the Houston Texans. Next half hour, Neil Riddell. Final half hour, my brother. We're in Philadelphia. The city is suitless. On News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.